Low gas prices and still oil companies post better than expected profits. From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill in for David Brancaccio. You'd think the relatively low cost of gas would have changed this headline a little by now, but nope. Oil companies BP and Total both announced better than expected earnings numbers today. We've got BBC's business reporter Russell Padmore to help us explain. Good morning, Russell.
Adrienne, good morning to you.
How is it that these oil companies have avoided dramatic slumps in profit?
Well, actually, I suppose the oil companies, BP and Total in particular, that we're hearing from today, have been looking at the huge drop in the price of oil. It's down something like 50% in the last year, and of course that's going to hit their bottom line. But the one thing that has propped up a bit of their profits is the refining business. Think about it. If it costs you less to buy the oil for your refining business because the price of oil has fallen and demand is there for fuel for cars, for example, as the US economy recovers, then there will be great demand. So they're making profit there, and also they cut back on their spending.
Now, there's been some speculation and talk about a takeover of BP. Do today's results change that discussion at all?
Not really. There's a lot of speculation that BP, as the price of oil has fallen and all the challenges the company's facing, that just perhaps it is a takeover target. I think, though, that it's such an expensive proposition, about the only company with enough cash in the bank to even think about doing that would be ExxonMobil. But all of those unsettled compensation costs over that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, that might be one off-putting thing that would keep the likes of ExxonMobil at bay.
Fair enough. The BBC's Russell Padmore, thanks.
Adrienne, thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE 100 in London is down 0.8%. Investors here in the U.S. will be watching the Federal Reserve today and tomorrow as policymakers discuss when to raise interest rates. S&P down at NASDAQ futures are all slightly lower this morning. As you've been hearing, the earthquake in Nepal has killed more than 4,400 people. Millions in the region have been affected by the disaster. Food, water, and medical equipment are in short supply. Americans are sending millions in aid. But how exactly do those dollars translate into help? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Mercy Corps, how may I help you?
People have been phoning and clicking to make donations to this international relief agency. Upwards of $700,000 by midday Monday, says spokesman Jeremy Barnacle. And Mercy Corps is small compared to groups like CARE and the Red Cross.
That money will mostly go to procure essential items that people need now. So tarps and sleeping mats and first aid kits, water bottles, things like that.
The money's flowing through the Bank of Kathmandu and being doled out by local Nepali staff. It'll boost the economy, helping wholesalers and stores reopen and bring back workers. Bob Ottenhoff runs the Center for Disaster Philanthropy.
There'll be lots and lots of people giving as long as the media covers the story. But it's very difficult to raise money for planning and preparation.
Starting with resupplying emergency depots in the region to be ready for the next disaster. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
High school students around the country are nervously cramming for advanced placement exams, which start next week. But there won't be nearly as many low-income and minority kids taking those tests as there could be. This is what's known as the participation gap. And it's the reason a group of education and business organizations will today announce a $100 million initiative aimed at getting more minority and low-income students into AP and international baccalaureate classes. Saris is the head of a nonprofit called Equal Opportunity Schools, which will help head the initiative. I asked him about the scope of the problem.
There's about 650,000 missing students per year, low-income students and students of color, who would participate in advanced courses in their high schools if given the opportunity to participate at the same rates as other students. And what we've seen pretty consistently now in work across 63 districts in 11 states is that when school and district leaders close those gaps and provide the same level of access to advanced placement and international baccalaureate courses as other students get, those students are able to rise to the occasion and succeed at high levels that really get them ready for college.
How much of this issue of the participation and access gap is actually about schools themselves not having these classes?
It's almost entirely a gap within schools that have these programs. So it's a case of students being literally just across the hall from this set of opportunities in their high school buildings. And what we found in the Education Trust research was that if you close existing gaps in existing programs, you would close the national race access gap completely.
Are APs and IB classes really the best way to focus on solving issues of inequities in our schools?
There's a lot of debate about how best to solve inequities in our schools, and a lot of conversations about major overhauls and changing things from the ground up. What we've found is that real educators, real students are able to make the most significant progress by taking advantage of programs that are working already in their schools. 90% of students are in schools that have advanced placement or international baccalaureate programs. So if we're able to answer the question of how do we use these existing programs and resources to really take things to the next level, I think it's one of the absolute strongest levers you can use to pursue goals of equity, access, and preparation for college.
Reed Saris is Executive Director of Equal Opportunity Schools. Reed, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Adrienne.
If you want to check out the participation gap at your high school, check out the tool we've created at marketplace.org. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm Adrienne Hill with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.